Radiolab is supported by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, exercising, cleaning. What if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com, Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. Radiolab is supported by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and can be more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Visit betterhelp.com/radiolab today to get 10% off your first month.
Listener supported, WNYC Studios.
Hey, I'm Jad Abumrad.
I'm Robert Krulwich.
This is Radiolab. Our topic is today is the very simple question, the very fundamental question, who are you?
Who are you? Yeah.
Like, who are you really?
And what do you know?
And what do you know? Can I get inside that head? Probably not.
So this is the ultimate get inside that head question. All of us know that one time or another, you know, that we're going to die.
Yeah.
And one of the big questions for everyone is, you know, what happens then? Nothing, something.
Yeah, like when you get right up to it, like what's out there?
Well, there's a hunch that people who are right on the edge may know a little more than those of us who are still deeply and richly in our lives. That maybe at the threshold, there'd be something that you could tell, something that you could say.
For example,
there is a moment in Shakespeare, it is a very, very famous moment, when Shakespeare allows his actors to step right up to the edge of death, almost into death itself. It's from Hamlet.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay, so we'll start. So what's going on in the play at the very end?
Well, at the very end, there's a pile of bodies.
This is Ron Rosenbaum. He's the author of a book called The Shakespeare Wars.
Hamlet and Laertes have fought a duel, and the queen has drunk a draft of poison.
A drink! Oh, my dear.
People are dying all over the place.
And Hamlet, too, he's been cut and fatally poisoned. He falls into the arms of his very best friend.
Horatio.
Oh, I die, Horatio.
This is Sir Laurence Olivier.
The potent poison quite o'ercrows my spirit.
And then, finally, he says,
the rest is silence.
And then Hamlet dies.
So that's the end of Hamlet. The rest is silence. Those are his last words.
Which may be Shakespeare's way of just saying so that, you know, when you die, that's what happens next. It's just nothing. It's just silence.
However, 7 years after Shakespeare's death, his collaborators reprinted collected works of Shakespeare. This is called the folio version.
In that version, says Ron,
after the rest is silence, Hamlet is not silent. What is printed beneath the rest of silence is literally capital O, comma, O, comma, O, comma, O.
Four O's.
Four O's.
Yes, we have an appointment with Mark Ryland. We are from National Public Radio. And
we wondered, what are these O's? They just tack like big dangling donuts onto one of the most lyrical deaths in the English language. So what are they doing there? Well, most of the actors who perform Hamlet pay no attention to the folio. They don't do the O's. They do the rest of silence. They die, and it's done.
The green room is down to the left there.
But we met a guy who does do the groans.
You are he?
I'm Mark.
Hi, I'm Robert Krulwich. Hi,
hello,
this
Robert.
Is Jennifer Murray. Hi.
His name is Mark Rylance.
Yeah, should we go up to my dressing room?
Yeah.
We met him backstage at the Longacre Theater in New York City. He was starring in a non-Shakespeare Broadway show, but he took us up to...
Wow, we're in a Broadway dressing room. This is pretty cool.
A teeny dressing room, and it was there... that he began to talk about case. The groans.
So the O-O-O-O was added by very careful editors to the folio in 1623.
Mark said he didn't think that Shakespeare actually wrote those O's. He thinks probably an actor did it.
So when you and your director sat down and you're looking at these four O's on the page, why didn't you think to yourself, shut up?
Because I guess I'd done it 300 times shutting up, so I was into the change, into the difference.
Particularly when he began to just consider the character of Hamlet himself.
Of all the characters who die in plays, I think we're most intrigued about what Hamlet will make of it.
Because Rylance says, remember, not only is Hamlet, you know, unusually obsessed by death, he went to a school that championed reason over mystery.
He's a student at Wittenberg University. He's part of that whole Protestant movement to the accurate study of nature. He's moving away from superstition, and bam.
What?
He encounters a ghost.
I am thy father's spirit.
A ghost that it not only appears as his father, but sounds like his father.
If thou didst ever thy dear father love.
Oh, God.
This is for the scientists, I imagine, listening to your program, you have to put yourself in that position. It's one of you. It's not a New Age wanderer or some regular visitor to a psychic who has this experience. So his gaze has been, for the whole play, his gaze has been on what is on the other side of our consciousness.
And when, in the end, Hamlet finally steps to the edge of the answer and he utters...
The rest is silence.
Here's the choice that actors and directors, when they do Hamlet, must make. Hamlet's next step is either into silence, where there is nothing, where there's a nothingness forever and ever, or is there a something waiting on the other side, and does he see that something in a vision? Maybe four visions.
Oh, 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 oh.
They could represent a kind of dying area.
Oh.
A long sigh, I see it coming.
Oh.
Oh my God, it's here.
Oh.
It's about to happen.
Oh.
That's it.
This is an idea you had to inhabit night after night.
I did, yeah.
So what did you think you were doing?
I felt I was encountering another reality than was immediately apparent to those around me. And so I felt with Hamlet that he'd moved and was seeing things, was encountering things, but his ability to put words to what he's witnessing dies before his ability to witness.
The ability to say what he saw, that died, even though he still had mind enough to see. So some nights, Mark would deliver the O's silently.
Just looking four times in four different places, maybe.
Or he might change tempo.
Oh. 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 Oh.
And some nights he died better deaths.
The best deaths would just be when the audience and I were together. And we were all kind of together, wanting, I suppose, Hamlet to say something. What can you say? What's happening to him? Something is happening, but we don't know what it is. There he's gone. He's gone.
And the rest is silence.
Shh. I know.
No.
Shh.
But now.
And now.
I think, yes. Yeah, just do that on the radio. People think that they're like, you know, something's gone wrong with the electronics.
It's true. If you go for over 12 seconds, I think there is an alarm that goes off and then people come running from all of the building. In any case, that I think this means that we're almost done, right?
It does. But we have something we'd like to share with the people who heard this program.
Yes. In your mind. We actually have a website, radiolab.org, and if you go there, in your mind. No, actually, really go there. You can subscribe to our podcast, and if you subscribe to our podcast, in your mind. No, actually subscribe, you'll find that we often release stuff on the podcast first. In your mind. Before we release stuff on the broadcast, which is what you're hearing now. 1 foot on Jacob's ladder, and 1 foot in the fire, and it all goes down in your mind. In your mind. Radiolab.org is the address, and if you want to email us with any thoughts, radiolab@wnyc.org is our email address. I'm Jad Abumrad.
I'm Robert Krolwich.
Thanks for listening.
You have two new messages. Message one.
Hi, this is Ron Rosenbaum, reading the credits. Radiolab is produced by Jad Abumrad. Our staff includes Ellen Horn, Michael Raphael, Sean Wheeler, Lulu Miller, Tim Howard, and Pat Walters.
Message two.
With help from Sharon Shattuck and Raymond Tongakar. Special thanks
to Brett Lefferts and Karen Havlick. Hope this is helpful. Thanks.
Okay, cheers, bye.
Okay, thank you. It's bye-bye.
End of mailbox.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.